Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians were off on Monday, but the news of baseball still continues. Lots of injury news. Looks like a lot of veterans getting nicked up and making announcements. Teams coming out with word that some big name players are going to be missing some time here. The most recent that we just saw across, all the news feeds, Lucas Giolito, a guy who pitched for the Guardians last season and just signed a free agent deal with Boston. Lucas Giolito going to be out for the foreseeable future. Looks like he has a torn ligament in his elbow and a flexor strain, and he could be looking at Tommy John surgery and maybe miss an extended period of time.
Oh man, that is a blow to the Red Sox. They were looking for pitching. Chris Sale is gone. And Giolito just coming off a horrible year last season. We saw him at the tail end of it in Cleveland. He just, he gave up over 40 home runs, and he signed big money, a short-term contract. I think it was only 2 years, Joe, but $38 million, somewhere in that vicinity. And I'm sure the Red Sox front office is hearing about that from the media and the fans. The blood is in the water in Boston.
Yeah, and they've got a new GM out there in Craig Breslow, a former reliever who pitched with Cleveland. But like you said, he just signed a 2-year, $38.5 million contract with an opt out after the 2024 season. It's tough for Boston, which it really just seems like hasn't had that level of pitching for several years now, and they're just trying to sort of restock and get themselves through a season with arms that can get them there. And really, Giolito was sort of like a Band-Aid almost, kind of a move, and now he's not even going to be available for them. It's going to be really tough for them to compete, especially in that American League East, with the level of starting pitching that they just don't have right now. Could they be a player in the trade market, making a push for somebody like maybe a Shane Bieber, or if they're looking for something like that, or you expect them to not be competitive and not kind of push for something like that this year?
Well, I think in that market, Joe, you don't rebuild. You got to be competitive every year, and they're coming off a last place finish in the East, like you were saying, 78-84 last year. I just don't see them trying to rebuild. They've got to go out and get some arms, or just see what they have probably to open the season with, and then move forward. And you got to wonder about Alex Cora's future there as well.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. The Astros announcing that Justin Verlander is going to open the season on the injured list, expected there because of continued soreness in his right shoulder. They said he hasn't had a setback since he initially reported that before the season, or before camp got started. But he's 41 years old, and it looks like they're going to take their time with him, slow play him, and make sure that he's sound before, for the Astros and Justin Verlander, it might not necessarily be important for him to pitch in games in April and May, but as long as he's healthy for a stretch run, that's probably more along the lines of what they're looking at.
Yeah, Joe, you got to wonder how much this guy has left in the tank. I mean, you got to love him. 257 wins. He went 13-8 last year. Started with the Mets, then went with Houston. Like you said, 41 years old. I mean, how much longer can you go? I mean, he had the big the Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. after 2021. He didn't pitch in that year. And he's come back, he came back and won 18 games in 22, 13 and 23. But boy, oh boy, sometimes you hit the wall, no matter what your name is.
Yeah, you gotta question his durability, but right now, if he's healthy at some point during the season, he's definitely somebody who can contribute to that team. You gotta believe that they want him there. They know what they can get out of Justin Verlander, and they've won games with him before, so they're gonna try and do everything to make sure that he's upright by the end of the season, and maybe pitching down the stretch. To get them into the playoffs or even deeper in the playoffs. Another injury announced. The National League MVP Ronald Acuna Jr. He's dealing with some knee soreness, some inflammation of the meniscus in his left knee, and he will be ready for opening day according to the Braves. But they're going to slow play him and take his time through spring training. Acuna tweeting or putting out there on social media that I'll be back, but he's telling people around camp that he wishes he could play right now, but he's got to take it easy. I guess he had played some winter ball in Venezuela, and that was a sort of a hot topic out there in terms of. Why is this guy just coming off of a record-breaking season for Atlanta? Why is he playing winter ball in Venezuela? He sort of snapped back at a couple of people who were criticizing him, saying, "I know my body, I know what I'm capable of, and you guys didn't criticize me when I played winter ball last offseason, and I came out and hit 40 home runs and stole 70 bases." So, Ronald Acuna Jr., one of the headliners in baseball, the MLB Network's number one overall player in baseball right now, according to their rankings. He's going to basically be coming along slowly in spring training in the hopes that he's ready on opening day.
Yeah, Joe, guy that's 25, and just listen to some of these numbers. He led the big leagues with 149 runs, 217 hits, 73 stolen bases, a 416 on base percentage, 383 total bases. He did that all last year. He led the National League in with 735 plate appearances. He played 159 games, Joe. I mean, if the Braves are loaded, but if they miss him for any extended point of time, they're gonna miss him. They're not gonna be the same ball club.
Yeah, and he's also like one of the faces of baseball. That's sort of the thing. He's like you said, 25 years old. This is a guy that the league sort of wants to build around, and that's the problem is why is this guy playing winter ball in Venezuela after an MVP season? He should be trying to get himself ready and healthy for the major league season to start. I guess is the argument, but. Like we saw Jose Ramirez, a veteran guy who doesn't need to play winter ball. He plays down in the Dominican for a little bit. They said Acuna played maybe what half a season of winter ball in Venezuela.
Yeah,
So
he played 21 games in that. He played for the same team Brian Rocchio played for,
really.
LaGuardia. LaGuardia, I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but he, for the and that Venezuelan team won their first championship in 38 years, so that might have had something to do with it as well. He only hit 380, Joe.
Well, I mean that's probably one of the reasons why they won their league, and then didn't they go on and win the
Yeah, the
Caribbean World
Caribbean
Series as
World
well?
Series. I don't think
Yeah.
he played in the Caribbean World Series,
No. But still, I
but
mean that's got to be one of the reasons why he wanted to play was because that was a team that he kind of knew was a championship caliber team.
yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And I think those guys get a lot of pressure to play on them. To play winter ball, you have to be, especially if you live in Venezuela. It's another thing if you live in Miami or live in the States, and you're not going home and spending the winter, in Venezuela. But when you go home, I think people put pressure on you. You're the club, and then if you're like a guy like Acuna with a lot of kind of a lot of pull with the Braves, probably has. They probably leave the decision up to him if he wants to play winter ball.
Right, yeah, and like in the past, you know, I just think about the way that Tito dealt with guys wanting to be in the home run derby or things like that. It's like you can't tell them no, but you kind of just hope that when they do, that they come back healthy and nothing goes wrong. I gotta kind of hope for the best. One more injury note to pass along in terms of Sonny Gray and the St. Louis Cardinals. Gray has been diagnosed with a mild strain of his right hamstring, according to the Cardinals, and it's going to be really a challenge for St. Louis to get him ready by opening day. This was their big free agent signing in the offseason to bolster their pitching staff. Sonny Gray, now, you know, some doubt whether or not he'll be ready by opening day.
Yeah, you know, hamstring, that's what, 4 weeks at least, especially with a pitcher. He strained the same hamstring last year with the Twins when he had, you know, the big year with Minnesota. So, you know, not a great thing, but at least it's not an arm or elbow, and, you know, hamstrings heal, and, you know, you can get him back out on the mound.
Yeah, that's you know, a big thing for St. Louis because they need pitching depth there with the Cardinals this season. All right, as far as some other housekeeping, we saw Zach Wheeler and the Philadelphia Phillies announced a 3-year contract extension, $128 million. It's the largest extension of a contract in terms of average annual value, more than $40 million. A year for Wheeler, so he'll be sticking around in Philadelphia. But a guy who won't be sticking around anymore, announcing his retirement, Josh Donaldson, former you know, Cleveland infielder for a time down the stretch in 2018. Donaldson really dealt with some injuries later in his career that really sort of sabotaged. A guy who was a dominant player when he was healthy for the A's and Blue Jays earlier in his career.
Yeah, Joe, you know, MVP in 2015 with Toronto, just had a great year, 122 runs, 123 RBIs, 41 home runs. He hit .297, and he looked like he was going to be that kind of guy, you know, for an extended stretch. And it really, you know, he was kind of in and out, but then he, you know, he tore that calf muscle, and that calf muscle, what, like 2017, 2018, that bothered him for the rest of his career. He signed a big, you know, he made plenty of money. You know, the Twins mm-hmm. gave him a big money contract in 2020, but he didn't play very much. He got hurt again. So, you know, he was drafted as a catcher, Joe. And
oh, wow.
He turned out to be you know, the one thing that real I remember him when he came for the 2018, what they call him, the bringer of rain, because when he hit home runs, they were like sky high. But he could play the heck out of third base. I mean, I remember him, you know, Lindor, you know, Lindor had his mouth open half the time, you know, at the plays he made. He was really, really a good third baseman. And when Francisco was playing shortstop, he was solid there.
Yeah, and, you know, there were reports and rumors and stories about, you know, conflicts and personality issues. And when he got to New York, there was a lot of controversy there. It seemed like when he played in Minnesota and in with the Yankees, that, you know, he just didn't kind of fit in the clubhouse or whatever. And, you know, there were issues, you know, when – later on in his career. So maybe some of that to do with just never being available and always being hurt and injured. So, you know, but he had a full season with the Yankees in the last couple of years. It just, he went downhill and declined physically so much that, you know, it's tough to see a guy who was at one time, you know, a top player, top performer in the league, decline so rapidly like that, like we said. Just a few years removed from an MVP season. So Josh Donaldson set to retire. And that's, you know, that wraps up a look at the news there. Any sort of breaking news or developments out of Guardians camp, you can get updates on our subtext. If you subscribe for $3.99 a month, subscribe to Guardian Subtext. Send a text message to 216-208-4346 or log on to cleveland.com/subtext to subscribe and get text messages sent directly to your phone by Hoynsey or by me throughout the season. We'd love to hear from you there. Hoynsey, as we get back into game action with the Guardians this week, they open up Tuesday here with Seattle and Goodyear. After an off day, you know, the guys get a chance to go home and you know, take a day off, get a mental break from the grind of playing every day and working out there at the facility. They come back and we've got Gavin Williams on the mound today. But we're looking at the lineups, and now that we're, you know, more than a third done with games here in spring training, Cactus League games, we've got to start looking at the lineup and looking at who manager Stephen Vogt is considering for what spots and what we think a projected opening day lineup could look like for Cleveland. Why don't we just go through, you know, position by position in the batting order as well, and just kind of discuss what we think is going to happen. You know, it's a little bit early right now to think about it, but you can never have too many good ideas, I guess. I think we can both agree that at the top of the order, Stephen Kwan is a lock for left field and batting leadoff for this team.
Yeah, for sure, Joe. He's had a good spring, and he's established in left field. You know, there was some talk over the offseason that he might play. He could move over to center field, but, you know, Stephen Vogt squashed that early in camp, said he's our left fielder.
Yeah, and now we get to the number two spot in the order in terms of, you know, the lineup, the batting order. It kind of depends on, I think, maybe who's who the opposing starting pitcher is, if he's a lefty, if he's a righty. I think Stephen Vogt might be open to the idea of batting Andrés Giménez second there. And if not, then maybe being a little bit flexible with José Ramírez and moving him up. I think if there's a righty on the mound to start the season opposing the Guardians, I think Giménez might be your guy there in the number two hole.
Yeah, Joe, he's kind of, you know, like he's flip-flopped that spot a bunch of times. You know, Ramirez has hit second, Laureano has hit second, and Giménez has hit second. So it's really going to be interesting to see what he does with this.
We did see one instance where Miles Straw was up there.
Yeah,
you know, a right-handed hitter, and in the past he's been able to put the bat on the ball. It just hasn't been as consistent the last season and a half. So, you know, maybe Miles Straw is a guy who could bat at the top half of the lineup, but I think he's going to have to prove that he can handle that. Right now, I'm thinking Giménez up there, if not José Ramírez. Ramirez in the three hole for sure. If Giménez is that number two batter, you can't go wrong with José Ramirez batting third in your lineup, no matter who's on the mound.
Yeah, Joe, for sure. You know, that's his spot. He's hit there since 2020, I believe. Switch hitter. Yeah, he's established there. He's one of the best number three hitters in the game.
And really, you know, when you're composing a lineup, you should really start with your number three hitter, right? You build around that guy top to bottom, and Jose is a good guy to build around in that regard. That leaves your number four spot, and Josh Naylor has proven that you know, he's the most consistent source of power over the last season and a half on this club. Do you expect Naylor to be that cleanup hitter at least on opening day?
Yeah, Joe, I think he's going to hit behind Ramirez, no matter if Ramirez hits second or third. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I think they've got to protect Ramirez, and Naylor, you know, offers that protection.
And Naylor proved last year that it doesn't matter if there's a lefty on the mound or not. This is a guy who he can hit lefties now. He's proven that he can do it. He was actually, you know, pretty good against left-handed pitching last year.
Yeah, I think he hit, what, 290, 300. You know, he really improved against lefties. He made that a point of his work during the off season, and he really came on there. So, yeah, he's definitely, you know, he'll be Jose's bodyguard for sure.
So we get to, you know, who's going to, you know, sort of add depth there and add length to the lineup. Could a guy like Ramon Laureano or Will Brennan slide into that number five spot? Who would be ideal in that spot?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could see Brennan hitting there, but they've got so many left-handers at the top of the lineup then, Joe. That kind of bothers me. I'd like to see, maybe that's where Laureano fits in, but is Laureano's not going to be an everyday guy, right? So you've got to get another right-handed hitter in there. But I would think Laureano would be one of the first choices.
I mean, does that open up the possibility that a guy like Davison De Los Santos makes the club and they just try to run him out there as a designated hitter or at least just to get a right-handed bat with some power, or maybe a John Kenzie Noel makes the club and you know, they use his versatility as well?
Yeah, you know, that's a possibility. You know, I think they're going to go, but I would think they'd go with the proven guy there and whoever, you know, if a right-handed hitter, you know, I think it would be Laureano. But, you know, with what Vogt said, you know, there are going to be times where he's going to have to hit three, maybe four lefties in a row. And that might be, a case in point.
Another lefty bat, a guy that we haven't seen much of or talked a lot about is Bo Naylor. You got to find a spot for him probably in that, you know, 6-7-8 range. In the lineup at some point until he settles in and proves that, you know, maybe he could bat a little bit higher. But again, the thing that holds Bo Naylor back a little bit from batting higher in the lineup is the fact that he swings a left-handed bat.
Yeah, and we haven't seen him, Joe. Like you were saying, this guy's played one game this spring. He's been out with a back spasms ever since. And we just don't know what his condition is and how much he's going to play. He's not in the lineup today. I would imagine if he's healthy, he's going to be, you know, in the lineup at some point this week. And then we'll get a better look at him. But we know what Bo can do. We saw him in the second half. I think you've got it pegged right. The sixth or seventh spot, he's got some pop. He can ambush guys. You know, some ambush power at the bottom of the lineup. And I think that's what, you know, that's a good place for him to start. If he gets hot, then you move him up in the lineup.
And you get down to the 8-9 spots in the lineup right now. Not a lot of production, not a lot of run production last year, not a lot of on base last year out of those spots. Looking for something more out of that in terms of the shortstop and the center fielder. And those are really the two big spots where there are competitions going on right now in camp. Expecting Gabriel Arias and Miles Straw maybe to emerge as the choices there, simply because they have the track records and there's a comfortability there. Unless something really changes drastically over the last, you know, 3 weeks of camp, do you see Gabriel Arias, Miles Straw filling out the bottom of that lineup?
I see Arias, you know, but I'm unsure about Straw. You know, he's been sick. He hasn't played for the last 3 or 4 days. I don't think that's going to hold him back, though. But, you know, he certainly is missing some valuable time here. But I think Arias is probably going to be the opening day shortstop. So we'll see him at the bottom of the lineup. But what are their other choices at center field, Joe?
Well, we've seen Tyler Freeman go out there a couple of times. We've seen Esteban Florial, he's in the lineup today, batting leadoff. This is a guy who needs to get going if he's going to force his way onto this roster. Again, another left-handed stick. Do they just load a lineup up with the, you know, 8-9 lefties in the batting order? I don't see it happening, but you know, Florial could be an option. Maybe Tyler Freeman's an option, but I don't think he's one that they're going to want to run out there in major league games to open the season in center field. There are other options better than Tyler Freeman when you get to that. So, yeah, it could be Florial. It could be Ramon Laureano out there in center field. They do have options.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way of looking at it. But, you know, we still haven't, this lineup is still taking shape. And, you know, we probably won't really get a good read on it till, you know, midway through March. And I think we'll have a better feel for it.
Yeah, and we can just go through this whole exercise again one more time in a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks. We just revisit this and project a way too early Guardian starting lineup. That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow, Hoynsie, and we'll check in with you then.
Good deal, Joe.